USA Today and NBC come out against general aviation. EAA's Tom Poberesny answers. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, USA Today and NBC's Today Show both featured stories criticizing federal aid for capital improvements at airports that are not served by the airlines. As you might imagine, the folks in Alphabet Land are not amused. ANN's Jim Campbell talked with spokesmen for both EAA and AOPA. Today, we'll start with the Experimental Aircraft Association.
Well, for those of you who opened up the papers this morning and took a look at USA Today or happened to catch a piece on TV, it's not been a good day for general aviation. Apparently, once again, we're the bad guys. We're wasting money. We're doing all these horrible things. Some quote-unquote $15 billion, which is less than the paper studies done on the various mating habits of various fruit flies that have been paid for over the years. And let's not get into the rest of the flora and fauna. We're talking to Tom Poberesny, president of EAA, who's on the front lines or firing line, as the case may be, of this kind of thing. And Tom, hit piece or not?
Well, Jim, I think that for those of us that are involved in aviation on a daily basis, it was certainly a hit piece. But what is an example of telling part of the story and telling the part of the story that tries to get your point across. I watched the Today Show today and listened to the story and listened to what Jim May had to say on behalf of the airlines and so forth. And basically, it was a very one-sided presentation. It didn't look at the total scope of the contributions that general aviation made to the transportation infrastructure. And I could go through examples to where blue in the face to counteract it. The fact of the matter is that this has become the life we live with right now in terms of constantly fending off the attacks on general aviation, which are primarily coming from the airline community.
Well, the sad part of the situation is that the airlines need the support of aviation and vice versa, and for some reason or another, the commercial airline community seems to think that we're a threat rather than a natural partner, and I really don't get that attitude.
Jimmy hit the nail right on the head. We accomplish more in a collaborative atmosphere, and we need to have an integrated transportation system. It's just like the road infrastructure. I can give you all kinds of examples of roads I'm driven on very much in the country. I can give you all kinds of examples of expressways that are jam-packed for hour upon hour. The fact of the matter is you need both roads. You can't just say we're only going to build roads in the cities and not in the country, or we're only going to build roads that go from one place to another. And it's the same thing with the aviation infrastructure. It should pattern the same thing we've done with roads and a lot of our other transportation infrastructure to the public benefit. This was a perfect example of not even telling half-truths, of just picking and choosing the information that you want to present to justify the approach that you're taking. It's a media battle that we're fighting right now, and as frustrating as it is, Jim, we have to keep clear heads and keep fighting the battle, because the thing is that we've got a great story to tell, and we have to keep telling it over and over and over again.
Well, the question is this. We're constantly put into this reactive configuration that somebody says something bad about us, and we have to come up with, oh, yeah? How do we get proactive?
Well, I think there's a couple of things here. Is that number one, Jim, we need to be sure to be proactive with the people who have the votes, and that's both the public and in Congress, and that they understand the issues. Number two, it's like the watermelon seed. When you push it, it pops over here, and then you go over there to try to catch it again. And where we are in the defensive right now, we need to kind of change it to go on the offensive in terms of promoting general aviation. It's going to take a collective effort. I wish I could give you a magic bullet to say there's that one story, the one person, the one thing, but it's going to be a whole multitude of things. It's very debilitating with all the problems we're facing in this country and the world. Non-aviation and aviation-related. You know, when I look at how much money, you gave an example of the fruit fly studies. Look at how much money we spend in terms of trying to prevent terrorism. Worthy battle. But what we've done is we've given away financially and in terms of time and freedom of movement, freedoms that many people have fought and died for under the guise of safety. And so the list goes on in terms of how money is being spent on things that aren't contributing as much as they should be. And here we're talking about an area there where the money is relatively small and contributing great to our infrastructure. It was interesting in the story, Jim. It was based upon what the taxpayer is spending. Airlines have tried to take the focus off the airlines and put it on the taxpayer who rides in the seats. You know, I would be interested to ask the airlines if the tax were eliminated or spent somewhere else, would they charge less for the ticket? And I doubt that would happen.
Obviously not. They're right now trying to get every dollar they possibly can, and every time you turn around, it's another fee for this or more for your bag. Or, by the way, if you want to call us now instead of getting your ticket online, that's going to cost you too.
You know, one of the things that was highlighted in the article talked about the convenience of going into private airports in terms of the ease of getting in and out, et cetera, et cetera. that should be a positive rather than a negative. You know, it's almost like we're being criticized because we're providing service at a time when, because of TSA, airline delays, lost baggage, congestion at airports, where every airline wants to leave at the same time. I can go to certain airports, sometimes then you can shoot a cannon off and have nobody in it, and then 2 hours later everybody's there because everybody wants to come and go at the same time.
Well, the sad part of the situation is I just spent about 30 hours in the last 10 days in my airplane traveling for a number of business and one personal reason. I put about 30 hours in that airplane, bought, you know, several hundred gallons of gas, hotel rooms because I had my crews with me for Blakesburg, Iowa, and down in Wichita and a couple other places. I stopped in, you know, places like Albuquerque and rented cars and so forth and so on. Spending money, doing business, and I'm one of thousands of people using airplanes to do just that and doing it in a way that the airlines can not only not service, but frankly couldn't give a damn.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Jim. The article almost proposes two classes of citizens, those who live in metropolitan areas that deserve service and those who live in the smaller communities that don't. And so what happens is those in the smaller communities shouldn't have an airport, shouldn't have access to transportation. And the businesses that locate business that locate the people that locate businesses there shouldn't have the access that aviation provides. It's wrong, and it's telling people that if you don't live in a metropolitan area, you're not good enough to have the transportation services. And when they talk about capacity, where the big airports are used at 80% capacity and smaller airports at less, it isn't a matter of the capacity; it's the quality of the infrastructure and the quality of the visits. If a community has a business that employs 200 people. And access by air is important, then whether they make one flight a day or 20 flights a day, that access is critical. You know, it's to be expected. When you get a city like New York City with millions of people, you're going to have more use of the airport than you are in a smaller community, but the access is just as important on a per-person basis.
Well, the other thing that bothers me, too, is they're sitting there talking about, well, you know, this they're playing some kind of dodge so this Gulfstream doesn't pay the $180,000 to locate here. Well, first of all, if you locate a Gulfstream someplace, you're going to make a hell of a lot more than $180,000 off of somebody, and it's a competitive market. Business will go where business is welcome.
Well, let's put it this way. If that Gulfstream is located, that means it must be a business associated with it that employs people, and it's a domino effect. You know, it's crazy, and the fact is that because something's used possibly for recreation or whatever else, it's a bad situation. That Gulfstream created jobs to build, it creates jobs to maintain, it creates jobs to fly. As I said, we're speaking to the choir. The fact of the matter is we have to continue to speak out, and as frustrating as this is, we have to take a step back and not let us defeat us, but rather give us the push to continue to get the message out on an ongoing basis. Today is a day of frustration, tomorrow is a day of getting back in the trenches.
One of the things I think we need to do, though, as an industry, is hold these purveyors of misguided fact responsible for what they're trying to put out there. As a journalist, I can tell you right now, this is an anathema to me. I have been taught and it has been beat into my head since day one on every class I've ever taken and every seminar I've ever gone to that there's two sides, at least, especially where aviation is concerned, to every story. We never saw the other side, and what side that they told horribly, inaccurately, and certainly didn't even delve into the beyond the surface layer of a couple of facts that seemed to suit the direction they wanted to go.
Absolutely. Well, today was a media blitz. Tomorrow we have to respond. And like I said, Jim, it's frustrating. We could spend the next 2 hours giving you all kinds of reasons why it was inaccurate, not complete story, the rest of the story, et cetera, et cetera. The fact of the matter is that even in 2 hours, we can't tell that whole story. So it's going to be a continual messaging on a local basis, regional basis, state basis, and to our elected officials. It's interesting, Jim. It would be easy to poo-poo this off by blaming the media for doing a poor job. But what it comes down to is the fact is that situation is going to happen all the time in terms of who gets their stories placed and tells the story. We're going to have to accept the fact that this is a battle that's going to last for a long time, Jim. And it's one of the reasons why we have organizations to work with and represent our interests, not that we can be the panacea, because it's going to take the individual member, the individual pilot, the individual aircraft owner to continually communicate. But it just goes to the importance of us keeping banding together to ensure that the rights and the freedoms and the contributions that aviation make is maintained along with all the other things that we do, whether it's automobile traffic. You know, if you ask people, Should the truckers and the commercial interests have priority in the roadways over the private individual? And the answer would be absolutely not. Well, it's the same principle for aviation as it is for cars. Just because one uses air and one uses ground is not relevant. And when it comes down to it, Jim, it would be interesting to do a study to see how many miles of roads are built in a year.
That would be interesting, especially when you compare it to how few runways are actually being built.
They talked about a 5,000-foot runway, which is 1 mile of road. I'm looking out my window right now, and on Highway 41, which is the road out in front here, they're going to do 6 lanes over the next 20 miles, which is more concrete they're going to pour for that stretch of highway in central Wisconsin than they will for all the airports this next year for the next couple of years. You know, I mean, if you put it in that perspective, do we want to give up all the airports throughout the United States or 6 lanes of traffic for 20 miles in central Wisconsin? I'll tell you what, I know what I'd vote for.
We'll wrap up the conversation between ANN's Jim Campbell and EAA's Tom Poberesny in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking to EAA Chairman and President Tom Poberesny about yesterday's USA Today hit piece on general aviation.
We've had a number of stories like this, which have been formulated at the level of ATA's continual outreach, if you will. Some may call manipulation of local media, especially media that's dependent upon airline for sponsor revenue and so forth. I know a fair number of folks that are in pivotal positions within the airline community came up through GA, cannot have these attitudes about GA. How can Jim May and his minions and Castle Vetter and the rest keep putting out, one, false information, two, damaging information, and three, finally, horribly myopic information that damages us all collectively and ultimately is going to wind up biting them really badly?
Jim, that's a $64 question. Unfortunately, I can't speak for them. All I can do is express the frustration in terms of the bigger picture, but it's a fair question that they're the ones who can be held accountable to answer.
Well, as you said, today we're upset, tomorrow it's reaction, and frankly, I think reaction has already started. I'll be looking forward to seeing both what we've seen so far and what comes out of EAA and the other associations over the next few days. And frankly, we've got calls in now to the writers of this particular article and also to some of the other folks that are working with this particular story, and I'm very curious to see how they're going to validate what they've done.
Well, what will happen, Jim, is that it'll be interesting, but what I envision is that they'll have reasons to do what they did. They're going to be defensive in terms of their positions and basically blow you off.
Well, journalist to journalist, it's a little bit more difficult to do that, especially when we have to do this silly thing like look at the facts, refute the facts, show them where they've gone wrong, and then at that point, if it doesn't work with them, we take it up with their editors.
Well, I look forward to hear what happens, Jim. I hope that your reasonable approach works, but I am not optimistic about it. But the main thing, as I said, it's the world we live in. As frustrating, as debilitating as it is, we got to keep fighting.
Understood. Tom, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, Jim, good talking to you, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this quite a bit over the next couple of weeks.
God help us all.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Tom Poberesny is the chairman and president of the Experimental Aircraft Association. This story is front page news at EAA.org right now, and you'll be hearing more about it. Jim Campbell is ANN's editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.